Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Well, last week on the show, we talked about the Animal Welfare League of Chicago and Chicago Ridge. And you know what? I will keep you up to date on things. There have been advancements made, and I'm optimistic that as a result of the radio show, but bigger picture, a result of people coming together, all sorts of different people in the world of animal welfare and the trustees of Chicago Ridge, a difference is being made. And public officials elsewhere who are stepping up and say, you know what? I care about this issue. So thank you all for caring about this issue. And for right now, I'm going to leave it at that. And as things progress, and I believe they will, perhaps, maybe, in a couple of weeks, we'll have Linda Estrada, the executive director, on the show. Certainly, we'll invite her to be on the show. On this show, it's one of the questions I get asked most often. I mean, what do I feed my cat? Should it be moist food or dry food? Dr. Deb Greco is an expert on that topic. And actually, we have an offer for you for something for, and it is my favorite four-letter word, it's free. And I have something else to talk about as well that'll be free. The Wynn Feline Foundation celebrating 50 years, and you can get a beautiful commemorative book. A PDF of that is available for free. And I will talk about that, but you notice it's getting a bit warmer outside, right? I mean, spring is just around the corner. So I'm thinking about fleas. I'm thinking about heartworm. I'm thinking about ticks. So I thought I would talk to veterinary parasitologist Dr. Mike Dryden. He is so well known around the world, he's called Dr. Flea. He's at Kansas State University, where you're a professor, Dr. Dryden. But I'll tell you, the whole idea I would think would be to get fleas away from our pets. So I would think you don't like fleas. I bet that's maybe, is that, what do you think?
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, I actually do love fleas and ticks. That's what I study for a living, but I love killing them more.
All right, so let's talk about that a little bit. There is now, and this actually has to do with heartworm. And we should probably explain, heartworm comes from mosquitoes and dogs and cats, but dogs can die of heartworm disease. And what we're doing currently for a variety of reasons is not working perfectly.
Mosquitoes are what we call the vector. And you have to have that because one dog can't get heartworm from another dog directly. So mosquitoes got to feed upon that dog. Pick up what we call microflurry. It's like a small larva in the bloodstream, and then transmit it to another dog or to another cat, and then they go through a prolonged period of development over a period of 6 or 7 months, and ultimately end up in the right heart or the pulmonary arteries in the lungs and mature. Now you got these anywhere from 10 to 12 inch long worms that are plugging up the arteries and causing damage in the lungs, and it's devastating. It's devastating to dogs. They clearly can die. And cats. And in fact, it's probably more pathogenic in a cat than it is in a dog because they're just so much smaller. Mm-hmm. Not as big of heart, not as big as lungs, and they cause massive damage in them as well.
Yeah, well, talk about cats separately, and maybe we'll do another one of these conversations about that. But I want to talk about dogs for a moment. So we've come up against some issues here with dogs. Talk about what they are.
In an area of the United States that we generally call the Lower Mississippi Delta, we're somewhere about southern to central Missouri, south along the Mississippi River, there has been some pretty good documentation of some heartworm out there that's likely resistant to the normal preventives that we administer, these monthly preventives that we give our dogs and our cats on a regular basis, and they're all the same kind of class. They call macrocytic lactone. So they all work the same. No matter what product you're buying, they all work the same.
And they're good.
Yes. I mean, generally these products are 99.9 to 100% effective, and even today they still are. They work remarkably effectively.
So on the human side, if I make a comparison to, say, malaria, what those at the Centers for Disease Control and those types of folks have done have said, you know what, we need to make sure people are – so the medication itself works well,
But we want more than that. And now on the animal side, veterinarians are beginning to do the same thing for heartworm and say, okay, we want to make sure the dogs are protected. We want to make sure they're protected. So we're going to do what's called a multimodal approach.
Well, that's actually correct. And we've done this in a lot of vector transmitted diseases before where, like malaria, you said, we have a drug, but we also then try to affect the vector itself. And so, yeah, there are those there are products out there that have been well studied that actually contain a compound called permethrin. And one of those is called Vector 3D, where the work has been done.
Mm-hmm.
And what that product does is it contains a repellent, or where the mosquitoes come in, light upon the dog, and they are essentially repelled and killed in the action of contact with that compound. And in fact, I think SIVA has called this what they call double defense, where they recommend, and it's essential, that the dogs are on a heartworm preventive, but then add in this additional component to affect the mosquito itself. And that combination approach helps the dogs, and particularly with those resistant isolates that may be out there to the drugs in some parts of the United States, it adds that added layer of protection. So, this is being proposed, but you're right, Steve. This is not a new concept. This is something we've been doing for years in other types of mosquito and other insect-controlled systems, where we're trying to do more than just one thing to protect whatever that animal is in that case.
And I would argue that it's good for consumers, too, and here's why. It's where we began our conversation with fleas and ticks, because this particular product that you mentioned, Vector 3D, as it happens, is very effective at killing fleas and ticks. So now you're, in a way, getting a double defense for your dog regarding heartworm. You need, I hope, to purchase a flea and tick preventive anyhow, so you're getting more bang for your buck?
Oh, absolutely. Of course, any place you've got heartworm, you're going to have fleas and ticks.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, clearly, in this situation, you've got you're basically getting a product that, yes, helps you in your heartworm, as we just discussed, but also kills fleas and ticks, and to a certain extent even will repel some of those ticks. So clearly it's beneficial to the dog and can be beneficial to the pet owner as well.
So the question is moist food or dry food? You know, people are so passionate about what all of you feed cats in particular and have very strong feelings about it, but scientifically, which is right and why? We will find out from Dr. Deb Greco in a moment. I also want to talk about I like free stuff. I cannot help it. And I suppose many of you do too, and you cannot help it. So a free available PDF of 50 years of cat health studies. This is so exciting. And I will talk about the Wynn Feline Foundation celebrating their 50th anniversary as well. Pets aren't like family. They are family. That's why the doctors and staff at MedVet Chicago are always, 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 always there when your pets need the most. That's the whole idea. They're open 24/7. They're at Belmont, Western, and Clybourne, kind of where those three streets come together. And whether you're there on a Sunday or at 2 in the morning, it doesn't much matter. They are always there. They're a VECCS Level 1 Trauma Center. That's the animal equivalent of, you know how some hospitals have, we are a trauma center with special designations. Well, that's the same idea. And they're actually also more than that, American Animal Hospital Association accredited, which many emergency facilities are not. You can learn more at medvetforpets.com or call MedVet Chicago 773-281-7110. The other thing they have at MedVet that I didn't mention, and I will, are all the specialists, you know, and they're all in one place, which is convenient for one thing, but it also makes most logical medical sense for them to be all there in one building together. So if there's an internal medicine issue, an internal medicine specialist can look at your dog or cat, but let's say it is cancer, and then consult with a veterinary oncologist right there on the site in one building. Things don't have to be sent back and forth via text or email or fax, if anyone does still use fax. It's all right there under one roof. MedVet Chicago, 773-281-7110. Dr. Deb Greco is a well-known leader in veterinary medicine, senior research scientist at Purina. Dr. Greco, I get asked this almost all the time. It's, what do I feed my cat? Should it be moist food? Should it be dry food? How much protein do they really need? And I guess the P word, protein, is of prime importance.
Exactly. Protein is the number one ingredient or nutrient that cats need. And it's, you know, front and center in most of our formulations at Purina.
Yes. So you go to South Africa saying, I am going to be inspired by the African wildcat. Tell me about that.
Yes. It was a great trip. It was a few years ago. And they sent about six experts. I was one of them. We also had a behaviorist and a nutritionist. And we wanted to see how the wildcat ate, how they drank, how they interacted with their environment, and how they hunted.
Now, we're actually talking about a cat called the wildcat, the African wildcat. That's a genetic ancestor to which your little cat sitting in your lap right now actually came from, but their needs are surprisingly similar, I believe.
They are. In fact, they're quite similar. They have very few differences. Their legs are a little bit longer. They have some different markings. They look mostly like a gray tabby with some red points on it.
Now, dry food may fall short, only dry food for some cats, when it comes to satisfying what they really want as far as texture, because texture is really important to cats, how it feels in their mouth. And also what's most important is the amount of protein at the end of the day, but you can get that in either dry or moist, I think.
You can, Purina One True Instinct, one of the observations that we made was that these cats really did enjoy different textures. So when they're hunting and they're eating prey, they're eating things like skin and bone, and which has crunch. And they also have, of course, the muscle parts and the organs, and those are more of a moist texture.
So what you just explained really illustrates why texture, in part, really illustrates why texture is so important to cats. What should we look for, and what Purina One True Instinct has early on in the label? Is first the protein ingredient, should that be in any pet food or cat food, specifically cat food?
Yes, yeah, specifically if we're looking at the nutrient profile, you should see that the protein levels are up in the, you know, high 30s, 40s, some will even go into the 50s, but that's unusual. So protein first, you know, as the main ingredient, and then followed by fat.
Now, this is Purina One True Instinct. It's for cats. And we have an exciting announcement. I love this word. The word is free. So if you go to purinaone.com/trytrueinstincts, you get a free sample, I'm told.
Yes, a free sample. And the trial is really important because that's how people can tell, and see for themselves if the food is helping their cats, and I think they'll be pleased with the results.
Yeah, I think it's ocean whitefish that is specifically the sample that you will get. So how can you tell? How do you know if this is the right diet for your cat? And I know what I just asked you necessitates an hour lecture from you, but if you could do it in 1 minute, that would be great.
Sure. I think what you're going to look for is, A, the cat likes it, so it's palatable. B, the cat is healthy and happy and running around. His eyes are bright. His skin and coat, you may see a change in that for the better. And the cat's more playful, probably.
All right, purina1.com/trytrueinstinct. And you can get a free, my favorite word, sample of the product we're talking about, Purina One True Instinct for Cats. Dr. Deb Greco, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It was Dr. Deb Greco, in fact, who the Win Feline Foundation funded several years ago to better understand and to change the world for diabetes in cats. I have an offer for all of you, and it's free, too, from the Win Feline Foundation next. So if you have a cat, nearly everything that we know about your cat was once funded by the Win Feline Foundation. And even for feral cats out there or cats at animal shelters, what we know about their care was once funded by the Win Feline Foundation, now celebrating 50 years. The Wynn Feline Foundation, and I've been on their board for 13 years now, the Wynn Feline Foundation, to my knowledge, is the only organization on the planet which is solely dedicated to funding cat health studies, typically to universities, but not necessarily. Let me give you some examples. So back in the 1960s, cats were dying and sometimes going blind as a result of dilated cardiomyopathy, a type of heart disease. And no one knew why. And the Wynn Feline Foundation and others were getting proposals to better understand how to treat the disease. But Dr. Paul Pion, then a student, he was a veterinarian, but he was going for his cardiology. He was a cardiac resident, I believe, at the University of California, Davis, said, you know, I don't think there's enough taurine in cat food. Taurine is an amino acid. We can produce enough taurine on our own. The dogs can as well, but cats cannot. And he said there's not enough in pet food. He was right. Wynn funded that study, and since then, it is very rare, unless you make a diet at home for your cat. And this is another reason why it's dangerous to make diets at home for your cats. It's very rare anymore for veterinarians to ever see dilated cardiomyopathy. And it's all because of Wynn Feline funded studies. Well, Wynn has been around for 50 years, 50 years, five decades. And now you can read about it. There's a book available for free. You can download it. It's WynnFelineFoundation.org. WynnFelineFoundation.org, spelled W-I-N-N, FelineFoundation.org.